B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up. Now, the show you'll be talking about.
That was not me hemming and hawing.
In therapy.
Socks.
Filker and Mass. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Don, is how much has the chatter been like just trying to move up and down in this draft? And if you found it harder or easier to maybe potentially get into the first round?
Well, I mean, there's some teams that are you know, well positioned in the first round with multiples. So, you know, there's a lot of conversations going on. Some teams are just in, you know, pick acquisition mode. So they're not necessarily in player acquisition mode. So that's made it a little harder to barrier to entry in that situation. And then giving up good players. When you're a competitive team, it's hard to part with really good players, even though you know you'd like to get back into the first round and improve your prospect pool overall. That's generally what trying to win is and being a competitive team is all about. And we're no different than several other teams that have given up their first round pick.
Our number two, Felger and Maz. A couple Bruins thoughts here as the draft is tonight. They're there at the draft without a first round pick. Multiple reports yesterday have the Bruins looking to trade up into the first round. That's Don Sweeney yesterday talking about that. And the teams with multiples, like Buffalo has three first round picks. Arizona has two. There's a couple of teams that have multiple firsts. And sometimes those teams will look to trade one of them because it's a surplus, so fine. Like, and the Bruins looking to get into the first round and draft Harry Schmedlap. I don't care about that. I'm 18-year-old kid that, you know, won't be ready for a couple of years. I'm not really concerned about that. What I am interested in is what would they trade to get a first round pick? We hit on this yesterday. I don't see much on their roster. But as you look at some of the other dominoes to drop, in other words, Patrice Bergeron, they expect to come back.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for David Krejci to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, Cam Neely said he was optimistic on an extension for David Pastrnak.
Yes.
And other reports had the Bruins potentially in on Nazem Kadri and or Vinny Trocheck at center. Looking at capfriendly.com, that is one of the salary cap sites for the NHL, they logged this. The Bruins' current cap space without Bergeron on their roster is $2.3 million.
Correct.
How in the hell are they going to... All those guys I just met, they couldn't afford a third of one of those.
One of them.
Right. If you cut off one of their legs, you still couldn't afford them. How could they possibly have room for any of this?
They can't unless they're moving money, which I don't know how they're doing.
So that, to me, is what interests me. Are they moving money? Are guys going out the door? And there's plenty of candidates. If they could unload Linus Ullmark at $5 million, I think we'd all, you know, say, well, you got out of that one, okay? And go with Jeremy Swayman next year at $925,000 and back him up with just a Joe Donuts veteran backup. And you put that money somewhere else in your roster, I think you're better off. I don't know. It's nice to have a two-headed monster. Do you really, really need it? No. Look, I like Charlie Coyle as a third-line center at $5 million a year, $5.25. It's too much. You're not getting the value for it. I think you're getting more. If you moved Howla down there at 2.3, you're probably getting more value. You know, so Charlie Coyle at $5-something. Is money you could probably move. Brandon Carlo at $4 million. Is that too much? I don't know. He's a second pair defenseman.
He didn't play like it last year,
though. He sucked last year. I haven't even gotten to the obvious ones. Freaking Foligno at 3.8. Did he have two goals last year?
Something like that. I mean, go ahead, McBone.
Yeah, it was two.
Okay. Three. Call me crazy. I'm not a great mathematician, but 3.8 million for two goals, I don't consider that great value. So that there's not, they don't have a ton of bad contracts. But if they want to do, you know, any of the things I just mentioned, something has to give.
Yes, absolutely.
Something has to give on that.
Yeah, so I look, there have to be deals in the hopper that they have, I would think, at a minimum. And look, maybe the logic is, and I'm just guessing here, okay, but maybe the logic is we're going to give Coyle away. We'll trade him for, you know, we'll even eat a million and give someone a fourth-round pick or something to take him, okay? And we're going to put Studnicka in that role and pay him 900 grand or whatever the number is for Studnicka. You know, and this is why Montgomery's here. Because we want him to develop Studnicka. Maybe Charlie Coyle maybe was another one. If I had to guess who Cassidy went. Remember that thing with Cassidy and Coyle?
And Charlie refused to shoot?
Remember that?
And Coyle refuses to shoot the puck or something like that in the playoffs? Yeah.
And honestly,
or late in the year?
Yeah, and honestly, it literally just popped into my head right now as I'm saying it. Like, maybe that was a thing, too. Like, they weren't getting enough out of Coyle because he hated Cassidy. I don't know.
Coyle's... You know, unfortunately, his production is on par with what it's always been.
Okay, so, but
which is, you know, underwhelming.
But if you're looking to save money, he'd be an easy guy to get rid of.
You bet.
Right? Because you got Studnicka there, and I'm not saying Studnicka's Coyle, but if you're going to bring in a coach to develop the young guys and give Studnicka the time.
Of course, he has a no-movement clause. I mean, because everyone does. I mean, this is the league's fault. So starting this year, he submits an 8-team, so it's a limited, it's a modified no move clause. He submits an 8-team no trade list from 2022 to 2025, meaning you can trade him to the other 24 teams. I guess that's how that works. Well, whatever. What can I tell you? So you have some, he's got some no movement protection, but not full no movement. Okay. But I don't know. He's got, Coyle's got 4 years left at 525. I mean, how many take, you know, I mean, like Seattle? Does he make sense in Seattle? Because their books are clean and they need NHL players. And I don't know. But something's got to give. You know, if they want to just get Bergeron back, something's got to go. Never mind Bergeron and Krejci. Now, two guys got to go. Now, you're looking to add Kadri or someone? Another one's got, like, I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
To me, it's got to be Bergeron and one other. Kadri or Krejci or something like that. Like, I can't see them adding three.
So both Forbort and Mike Riley signed for 2 more years at $3 million even per year. Forbort was a little bad. I thought he gave you a little something more.
In the playoffs, yeah, he was better.
Yeah. But do you need both those guys?
No. Well,
maybe this year you do because you start the year without McAvoy. So who are you going to play? Who are you going to play? Some kid from Providence that's not ready or, you know, Zboril? Or someone like this?
Something like that. I think that's what we're headed for. I mean, if I had to guess, in all honesty, if you're gonna make the change you made with the coach, doesn't the roster have to get younger? Like, don't you have to get rid of Riley or Forbort or, you know, and they can buy out some of these guys too, right? Like, they could buy out Foligno.
Yeah, I believe so. I forget how that all works and what they really save, but yes, I think you can.
So if I were them, I would move someone and buy out a couple of others and create some space because your roster blows.
And so, remember, until Thanksgiving or early December of next year, no Marchand, no McAvoy, and I think no Grizzlick, who I'm kind of down on, but he is an NHL defenseman. So, Neely talked about this, too, yesterday. That some of that stuff's going to be filled by kids. So whether Stanika's ready or not, or, you know, you name it. Steen, I don't know who we're looking at there, but whether those kids are ready or not, they're going to get a crack. And on defense as well, more than other, unless it's Riley and Forbort. I mean, I don't know, but you talk about the money. It's like, you can't even do half a third of what you're talking about unless you blow some guys out of here.
Mike, when they traded Backes, didn't they give a first round pick?
Yes.
They can't even do that.
No, they don't have one to give away. That's right.
Exactly. And I don't know when their next first rounder is. Didn't they trade away their 2023 first rounder?
No, I think they have it next
year.
They
still have it?
Yeah. So either way, the other thing that I'm interested in is the extension for Pastrnak. Are they really willing to go there with this player? Because if they are, the numbers will blow you away. I want to pick up this. On the other side, mix in your Red Sox and Bruins calls together right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Forgot to ask Donnie this, but I'll ask you. Any updates on David Pastrnak and where that's headed?
I believe Don's meeting with his agent in Montreal here, so we'll see where that goes. But I feel very positive about it.
So Neely said he feels very confident on Pastrnak. I guess that's good news if you want David Pastrnak. Because as we've discussed often, Neely kind of can't help himself. He gives himself away a lot of times.
You mean he tells the truth?
Yeah. It just slips out. If it's really that easy, like, they're going to get him done quickly in his, you know, heading into his walk year, then that's good news for you. If you want him back. But it's also surprising because you're looking at a big, big number. And let me just, you know, if David Pastrnak wanted to really hold out for big money, I mean, I think he could be the second highest paid player in the game. Let me just give you a for example. Goal scores the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Here are the NHL's leading goal scores in order the last five full seasons. Number one, Alex Ovechkin. Number two, Austin Matthews. Number three, Leon Draisaitl in Edmonton. Number four, Connor McDavid. Number five, David Pastrnak. He ranks fifth in the NHL in goals scored in the last 5 years. Now let me give you the AAVs of those particular players. Alexander Ovechkin, 9.5. And that's the low end of that. Okay, that's the lowest. Austin Matthews is second. He makes 11.6.
Ooh.
Okay. Leon Draisaitl is at 11.3. And Connor McDavid, 12.5. So all those guys make over 10, except for Ovechkin, who's at 9.5. And let me tell you, the 9.5 AAV is part of a 13-year, $124 million contract. It's one of the most lucrative contracts in the history of the NHL, if not the most lucrative. I don't know if anyone's ever banked over 124 on one contract, but I'm sure someone has. Either way, it's a little bit of a misnomer to say it's just $9.5 million a year. Mm-hmm. It's $124 million. You don't have many $100 million contracts in hockey.
Mike, what position is Draisaitl? He's a wing, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
well, no. I guess he's a center. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he plays with McDavid a lot, right?
On the power play, I suppose.
Oh, okay, all
okay,
right.
Okay, so he's listed as a center. I guess he is a center. I should know that more, but they do, you know, they will play together in the same power play. But either way, top five goal scorers in the league the last 5 years. Ovechkin, Matthews, Draisaitl, McDavid, Pastrnak. Ovechkin, 9.5. Matthews, 11.6. Draisaitl, 11.3. McDavid, 12.5. David Pastrnak, 6.6. This is another reason, and he's got one more year to go. So if you sign him to a contract extension, it starts next year. The NHL, again, because their contracts and salary cap is real, unlike the NFL, you can't tear up contracts, and you can't renegotiate, and you can't refudge the numbers. Whatever the number is what the number is. So this is another reason why, even if they can't come to an extension with them, it's going to take a lot for them to trade him. There's just too much value there. You have a top five goal scorer in the league making half of what, you know, some of the other guys do. It's like there's just way, way, way too much value. That's a great contract for the Bruins. It's about to come to it. This is the last year that you get it. So all I'm saying is this, that if Neely's confident, either Pastrnak is taking a hometown discount and he's saying, you know, you can pay me 9.25, like that'd be giving the Bruins a break. Anything under 9.5 a year for Pastrnak would be doing them a favor and giving them a break. So either he's done that or the Bruins are willing to pay him $10, $11 million a year, because that's what he can easily ask for. If he goes to market, that's what he's going to get. He's going to get $10, $11 million a year. And if that's already, they've already, if either side has agreed to that, if Pasternak has said, yeah, you can, I'll take under 10, give me 9.5, under 9.5, something. I mean, McAvoy makes 9.5. So it's, you know, if Pasternak has said, I'll make what Charlie makes, and that's fine, he's doing you a favor. And that would surprise me. If you've said, no, here's 11, that would surprise me. Otherwise, I don't know where this confidence is coming from Neely.
Well, they're getting ready to pay him then.
You know,
if we're taking Neely at what he's saying.
Either they're getting ready to pay him, or he's getting ready to take a discount. It's one or the other. They're getting ready to pay him a big one, make him a top five highest paid guy in the league, or he's willing to say, nope, I'm willing to take less to stay here and be tied up long term. And both of those outcomes would surprise me.
Okay, can I play devil's advocate for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, well, finish your thought first.
Well, no, because I was just playing around with this. You know, if Sweeney has done one thing pretty well, and that is sign his own guys for good numbers. Now, Coyle is an outlier. Coyle was, in hindsight, here an overpay. But you look at Brad Marchand's contract.
Steal.
Let me give you this. Last five seasons, points. Okay, not goals. Points. Number one, Connor McDavid. Number two, Leon Draisaitl. Number three, Nathan MacKinnon. Number four, Patrick Kane. Number five, Brad Marchand. Fifth most points in the game over the last five seasons. McDavid, 12.5. Leon Draisaitl, 11.3. Nathan MacKinnon. Let me look at Nathan MacKinnon. He's actually down there a little bit. He re-signed. I got to find Nathan MacKinnon. He's not in that. He's not in that $10 million range. Either way, Patrick Kane makes $10 million a year. Brad Marchand 6.6. I mean, they get great value.
Unbelievable
out of Marchmont.
Unbelievable. So look, and McAvoy is the one that really sticks out to me because that number is different than anyone else they've ever signed, right? That number shoots up. So I wonder if they're going to be lower than that with Pasternak. Also, just for the sake of it, like when you read off the list of highest paid guys, a handful of those guys are centers. Drysdale's a center, McDavid's a center, Matthews is a center. So it's not totally apples to apples, right?
This is true.
So I went right wings.
Okay,
right wings.
Thank you. Go ahead, play with it.
Okay, number one, and I'm just going by AAV now. Okay, Mitch Marner. 10.9. Patrick Kane, 10.5. Mark Stone, 9.5. Kucherov, 9.5. Mikko Rantanen, 9.25. Then Jacob Voracek comes in at 8.25. But the top five guys are all in the 9.5 to 10.5 range.
No, so this is fair to compare them to McDavid, center, or maybe even some of these defensemen. Right, stick with right wings. Okay. If he's a top three highest paid right wing, that's what, 9.5 you said there?
Yeah, it's basically $10 million, though. The top three are 10.9, 10.5, 9.5. Mitch Marner is $10.9 million.
I mean, that Toronto team, and what's his face? Tavares makes $11 million a year.
I mean, no wonder their defense sucks.
Matthews makes 11.6. Tavares makes 11. Marner makes 10.9.
Correct.
And they can't keep the puck out of the net and they can't win the playoffs.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, it's just you can't pay all your forwards. That's always been stupid cap management up there, though. They've been doing that for years. Yeah,
absolutely.
They've always been top heavy. Always, always, always.
No defense, no goaltending, but they put the puck in the net.
And you know, right. And it also plays out on the ice. They play, if it's a regular season game and there's space and everybody's flying around, well, these three guys are lighting up the scoreboard. As soon as you get into the playoffs and now you got to fight for space and, you know, it's dirty goals and area in front of the net, they lose.
Okay. There are your Bruins thoughts. Something has to give on the payroll for them to make any moves, including just bringing Bergeron and Krejci back. Something's got to give. What's going to give? Will it help them get a draft pick tonight? That would be a win, which I don't feel they're capable of, but that's on the board. And they're really confident on Pasternak? So what's happening here? Is Jacobs really reaching into his pocket here for a top three contract, that kind of thing? Or has Pasternak already said he'll take a discount? That interests me. And all the Red Sox stuff to your phones, as promised. Dave in Plymouth, what do you got on the Bs?
So that's what I'm confused about, Mike, is bringing back Bergeron and Krejci, because they've got to be coming back on discounted deals, right? One-year deals at less than what they were making prior to Krejci leaving and Bergeron, in limbo, right?
Let me tell you, Dave. Yeah, Bergeron made six something last year. What's right. Is he going to take three? I don't think so. Krejci was making like eight by the time he was done. Is he going to take three? I mean, I think those two combined, call it combined, around 10, right? So
that's what I would guess too.
Go ahead, Dave. So something's asked to give.
Well, I look at that and I think that they've got to move, and I don't know what his contract is, but guys like Brandon Carlo, because who else is a trade ship? I agree with you. Coyle's contract is too rich. Nobody's going to deal for that unless they give you like a third round pick. But Carlo's young enough to where he could net you some assets, and maybe, he's somebody they're looking at and saying, that's a future contract we don't want to sign.
Okay, look, and the arrow, I think, is pointed down on Carlo, and it's too bad. I thought they had something there. Maybe all those head injuries sent him in the wrong direction. But, he should be a big, physical, impactful playoff, stay-at-home defense, and he's just not. So, at this stage, I don't think it's even about the return. It's about clearing the money. You can take some of the money, too. There's all these mechanisms where you can swallow some of the money, so you can send Coyle. If Coyle's got, $23 million left, you can pay 10 of it. And there's ways to play around with that. To me, Coyle feels like the odd man out. If they want to bring back Bergeron and Krejci, and Howla did, representative work for them at center, and he slots in as a third-line center at 2.3, now that makes more sense than Coyle at 5 and change. So Coyle, to me, feels like an odd man out if they can find a trade partner.
I mean, if you were asking me to bet today, I'd bet Coyle's gone. Mike, you got to factor in Studnicka, too.
Absolutely. Right? He's dirt cheap.
Right. So the whole point is, again, they made the switch of coach because they want to go with some younger guys. And they want someone who can connect with them better than Cassidy could. Someone who's nicer. Okay, but again, not to get on that road. Studnicka has to play.
Wayne and
if that's the way they're going.
Wayne and Yarmouth on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, this is on Chris Sale, and, Mike, other than our mutual hate for nerds, we've had this question about Sale for quite some time, and I'm a longtime listener, and I know you've questioned him because the guy is a fraud. He's not only a fraud, he's brittle. This guy is not going to come back and become any kind of a significant contributor to the Red Sox. He just wants to get back in the bullpen with his buddies and commiserate. That's why he's so pissed off about what's going on with him in Worcester.
He's just such a tough talker, and I want to come back and compete, and I only care about competing and helping this team win. Really? Really? You do? Then how come you can't play in Toronto? Why is that? Those aren't big games? You don't want to help the team win in Toronto? So it's just, he just says the right thing. The fans sort of fall for it because he carries himself as this tough, competitive guy, but is he at the end of the day? What's he really producing for you? And since he signed that big contract, what's he produced for you at all?
I mean, they need results. Okay, they need results. They don't have front-end pitching. And, I think he's got the chance to be front-end this year. Like, I think the stuff could be front-end stuff. So, to me, it's all about results. They need results from him. The rest of it I can do without.
More your calls right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Well, maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
Back to your phones here. As promised, Ryan in Tewksbury on the Bees. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I got a trade idea that kind of kills two birds with one stone. So they have to clear cap to get Bergeron and Krejci back anyway. So what I think is if you trade Ullmark and maybe like a second and a third to get Edmonton's number 29 pick, because they need a goalie. Lord knows they need a goalie. But I don't know. That's just an idea.
Okay, so you've traded to get, what's his face here, Lindholm. You traded a first and 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know if you have a second tonight, but the
next 2 years you don't, I think.
Right. So now you're going to trade Ullmark and a. So now you're going to go. You haven't had a first round pick of 3 of the last 5 years. Then you're going to go 3 straight years without a second round pick, just to get rid of Ullmark, to bring back David freaking Krejci at 48 years old. Like, that's pathetic.
It is pathetic.
But they might have to do something like that.
Well, the only advantage of Krejci is that the contract will be up in a year, right? It'll be a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
So, but look, I you know, if you're telling me they could move Ullmark and get something for him, fine.
Do it.
Yeah. Again, they're overpaying him.
You need room.
Edmonton's a good spot for him.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, they have Murray in net for crying out loud.
And they might not fully know how badly he sucks.
McBone's playing net for Edmonton.
Brandon in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys, I'm a Boston native, but unfortunately, I'm a Dodgers fan, so I have to hear you guys talk about Chris Sale. So I just want to be really quick on this. What type of loyalty does the Red Sox organization have towards this guy when he has no loyalty to himself? The guy's always injured, elbow injuries, COVID. We talk about rib injuries, right? Now, check this out. The World Series was only won. You want to know why? David Price. He was the reliable factor in that series, okay? He knew that Chris Sale came off of Tommy John surgery, so he wanted to play those back-to-back games. He wanted to have probably just one day of rest, but he knew that Chris Sale wasn't reliable. You know what I mean? So Chris Sale had he got crumbs at the end of that World Series.
Absolutely.
Closing out the game.
It was I'll just cut you off. It was plastic production by Chris Sale in that World Series.
Totally. Again, he pitched at the end. You know, he finished it off, but it's not like he was a huge factor in it.
No, I'll say it again. David Price gave you more on his contract than Chris Sale's has given you on his.
It's probably true.
And I'm just talking about the extension now. Sale, you know, the first
right,
couple
the
of
first
years
year here was worth it.
Was on the existing contract from the White Sox. But since he signed the contract, you've gotten less out of him than you did David Price. David Price was a factor in that World Series and in that playoff run. Sale, not really. Lenny in the car. Go ahead. Lenny's got us on hold. That's why we get the music. Timmy in Newburyport. Timmy, go ahead on the Red Sox.
Hi, guys. I have two quick points to make. One is on the Red Sox pitching staff. You could keep. I know the division record stinks right now, but they're doing this without their two best pitchers, Nathan Eovaldi and Garrett Whitlock. And also, a big addition is going to be Josh Taylor. He's very close to coming back. And don't forget, he set the Red Sox all-time record for consecutive scoreless innings last year. When he is right, he is a monster.
Okay, Timmy, I'm going to give you Eovaldi and Whitlock. Do I have to give him Josh Taylor?
No, you don't. Look, he's a functional big league pitcher and a serviceable. I mean, he's decent, you know, but he's not. That record, you can take that record and freaking blow it out your rear end. Like, seriously, consecutive scoreless appearances, great, so he got on a run. Now, again, do I want him in the bullpen? Sure. Yeah, why not? I mean, you get enough lefties out there, you might as well get another one. What the hell's the difference at this stage? But he's not like a piece that I look at and say the whole bullpen's going to change if Josh Taylor's out there. No, nice little piece to add, but he's still a seventh inning guy.
Whitlock makes a difference.
Yes, Whitlock does. So they need a right-hander. They need a right-hander in that bullpen. So aside from Whitlock, you need another one. Then if you're telling me now you've got Whitlock, Houck, someone you've acquired in a trade, and you can choose on your lefties to mix and match with Taylor, Strom, Diekman, and Austin Davis, however you want to do that. Fine. Okay, now we got something we can work with. We'll figure out the particulars as we go along, but yeah, there were some good arms there. And, you know, some of those lefties you can pitch in the fifth inning and get key outs if you want. Great. But they're not, you know, but that's a lot of ifs. I mean, how many conditions do you want me to set?
617-779-0985. Lenny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Okay, so I just want to talk about the Bruins cap situation here. They have, with McAvoy and Marchand out and Grizzly too, you could add that to it. They have until those guys come back to that amount of cap space. They can go on the long-term reserve list, and they can open up $15, $16 million in cap space, so they don't need to get rid of this money until they return. And there's easy ways to do that. You can put guys in Providence. You can buy them out. You can obviously release them. So there is ways to get around the cap for now to, you know, get Krejci on board, get another guy in here. But I don't think they're too bad. I think the Brassard and Bergeron, Pasta, Krejci, Hall, Paula, Smith, and Coyle are three pretty good lines, to be honest with you. And then you get McAvoy and Lindholm healthy and Swayman in the net. So I don't think we're as far off as people say. I don't think our lineup is terrible like Maz stated.
Okay, I'm with you, Lenny. I think they're a playoff team next year. Even with all the injuries, I've said that, you know, from day one. They don't suck. They're also not great, but they don't suck. And the thing about long-term injury, you can stuff those guys on long-term injury, but then when they come back, you have to clear that money has to be cleared unless you're holding them out to the playoffs. That's what Tampa did with Kucherov, right? Isn't that how they got around it?
Yeah, right.
Because when you get to the playoffs, the cap is treated differently or whatever. But so, okay. So you stuff Marchand and McAvoy on long-term injury. That's $15 million right there. $16 million right there. Then what do you do at Thanksgiving? You have to clear $16 million off your books at Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Which is like, you know, a third of the way through the season or whatever that is. That's not the play. You can play that game if you want to wait until the playoffs. But now on Thanksgiving, generally there's not a lot of trades being made in the NHL in October and November. So how do you clear the money then? You put yourself in a spot where you're dump, you know, it's sort of a weird dump off there.
No, you got to do it early rather than later. I was just looking up Smith because I forgot about him.
He's not that expensive.
No, he's only got 1 year left, but he is, well...
Is it three?
His cap hit is 3.1.
I mean, that's not horrible. It's just not. But, you know, you mentioned that, you know, before you get to these guys coming back. I mean, we did this a little bit yesterday. I mean, they have a couple of stretches on their schedule without these guys that you just look at it and you go, how the hell are they going to get through this? Like, I'm just trying to piece it together. So here's a stretch starting November 22nd. Lightning, Panthers, Hurricanes, Lightning, Avalanche, Vegas, Avalanche. That's seven straight games.
Seven losses.
I mean, that's like, and I'm not even giving you a home road. Some of those are at home. But for Pete's sake, then you have a stretch here. How about early November? At Pittsburgh, at the Rangers, at Toronto, home St. Louis, home Calgary.
Five losses.
I mean, that feels like, I mean, so those the 12 games between those two stretches without Marchand, Grzelcyk, McAvoy.
Correct. You're 0-12, which means in the other 70, you got to go like 45-25.
So, like, I still have them in the playoffs, but they could play themselves out of it given the injuries in those two stretches alone.
Okay, so look, when I say the Bruins are going to suck, I am factoring in that they're going to be without their best players at the start of the year. Okay, we want to go right up and down the roster and say they're not that bad. I agree. Okay, like McAvoy, Lindholm, Marchand, Pasternak, Bergeron will be back presumably. Like, okay, now I get it. Hall, Howla, fine. But you take out some of those key guys, and then all of a sudden, who's Lindholm playing with again? And you know who's Pasternak going to play with without Marchand there?
The answers are Ahan. I still don't know how to pronounce the little squirt's name. And Jaxson Nika.
So this is what worries me, is that you're going to suck right out of the gate and then forget it. It's over.
Okay, mixing your Bruins and Red Sox calls. We'll get to developing opinions on Jaylen Brown and the Celtics off the top of the next hour. But your calls next in our long commercial-free segment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
When you get to know some of the younger kids, because that can be kind of a twist your head around kind of thing. You know, I have to go make an impact right now. Do you see kind of the right kinds of attitude and skill, those combinations? Or
Well, what I see is opportunity for some of these young kids based on, you know, some guys being out of the lineup. And there's going to be players that, that get more minutes, whether it's on the power play, more minutes, five on five, different opportunities than if we had a healthy roster they wouldn't have. So I look at that. I hope that they look at those opportunities and say, I'm going to come there and I'm going to prove that I can play more, whether it's playing in the NHL or play more minutes for the Bruins. So that's how I look at it.
That's another thing about that early stretch of the schedule, too. They could play themselves right out of it. Some of their best players won't be available. All these young kids that were crying about Bruce Cassidy, okay, the big, mean coach is gone. He was mean to you. You didn't like his tone. Because Lord knows you can't talk to young people, Maz, with any sort of bite to your voice.
Oh, no. They'll call the cops on you.
Absolutely. Child services.
Absolutely. It's what happens.
So Bruce wasn't nice to Jakey. So Bruce gets the gate, so now Jake is freed. He's going to be your number one left wing to start the year. Marchand's out. So, providing Bergeron's back, it's you, Bergeron, and Pastrnak.
Great.
And the big, mean coach is gone, so I expect you to see fill the net up, Jakey. I mean, the coach will be nice to you. He'll say nice things to you. So, what's left now?
See, that is the classic, like, be careful what you wish for. Because, you know, once the guy that you blame is gone, well, who are you going to blame the next time?
Say the same thing for Frederick Stanika. If Charlie Coyle's on that list, whoever, okay, the mean guy's gone. The next guy's going to say nice things. He'll be nice to you. And you're going to get ice time because they got a whole bunch of injuries, and the season will be on the line in the first half of the year during those injuries, as we just gave you. You could play yourself right out of that thing. So here you go. It's time for you to. So what if you suck and the coach is nice to you? Now what am I led to believe? Maybe it's just that you suck. So there's that.
No escaping that one.
Okay, back to your phones. We've got Nick in Westport. Go ahead, Nick, on the Bees.
Hey, guys, what's going on? So tonight is a scary night. I'm not a fan of the NHL draft anymore ever since Sweeney took over. It's become a nightmare. So with that being said, tonight I want to know real quick what you guys want the Bruins to do, because I think they have two really good options. You can either A, you can trade Pastrnak, and you can try to get a really high pick and a pick next year, which I believe Don Sweeney will then screw up. So I don't want you to do that. What you need to do, option B, is you need to lock up Pastrnak and hope that that helps bring back Krejci and you keep this core of losers going, because that's the best option you got.
So your best path is to overpay Pastrnak to get more losers back here to keep losing at the level you've lost at the last several years.
Correct.
There's the path.
Yes, preserve mediocrity.
Sean in Salem on the Red Sox last night. What'd you think, Sean?
Well, you know, perhaps I'm overreacting. You guys could tell me, but you want to put Bello in the best spot to succeed, and perhaps at home in a game that essentially is worth two is not the best spot for a kid that obviously wasn't ready. A week earlier on the road, maybe, versus a bad team is a good time to get his feet wet, like they did with the younger kids, if I'm not mistaken. Last night felt more like a showcase, and it could end up having huge consequences at the end of the year with a two-game swing. So maybe I'm overreacting, maybe I'm not.
Showcase, like, to try and trade him?
No, just to show him off. Show, like, Bloom's pet off. Look at him. Cause, yeah. You know?
Okay, so, I mean, the Rays lineup is not a tough lineup.
Correct. It's not exactly. We're not talking about, like, you know, one of the best five lineups in baseball.
I mean, there's a few guys. I mean, I love a Rosarena.
You get it right.
A Rosarena. He's a fun player.
He is a fun player.
Like, he's got a great attitude, and he's spunky, and he's good. Like, I like that player a lot, and Franco's amazing, and Kiermaier's, I mean, but that's not a dangerous lineup.
No, it isn't. It's not a great lineup at all. I mean, I think they were in the lower half of the league in runs scored. It's not like they're pumping out runs, and I disagree with the caller. I think part of the reason you pitch him against a team like Tampa, one, the offense isn't great, but the team does have some cachet. You want to see what the kid's got. Can we use him in the bullpen later in the year or not? Winkowski and those guys, they already know. They know those guys don't have front-end stuff. So they're going to give him a nice soft landing, and they probably worried about the confidence level and damaging them. So they make sure they, you know, as they say, they handpick the opponent. In the case of Bayo, I think they tested him a little. I think that was, you know, let's see how he does. And it didn't go well.
Nick in East Longmeadow on the Red Sox. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, Bugger? Just got a quick take here. There's a lack of power in this Red Sox lineup, and when you really take it, the top three hitters across the lineup, only two of them might even crack near 20 home runs. And I think it's kind of a persistent issue that they need to fix here at the trade deadline. I think even more so than the bullpen, especially if you put Whitlock in the pen, you got to get yourself a lefty bat. But at the end of the day, you look at Xander Bogaerts' numbers. He's only hit over 20 home runs twice in his career, only 100 RBIs twice in his career. You got to ask yourself, is that type of guy worth $30 million plus a year? Thanks, guys.
Nick, thanks for the call. This is a topic that's starting to interest me a little bit. The home run, you know, the whole game is centered around the home run.
Mm-hmm.
In the modern game, it's about hitting home runs and preventing home runs.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing. Launch angle is about hitting them. The velocity and the way they use pitching now is about preventing them. It's all about the home run. And the nerd was on this, you're going back to Billy Beane. So it's like the most important part of the game currently. Yet the Red Sox trade away Kyle Schwarber. They let Schwarber go. They trade away Renfro, who hit 30 last year.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two guys just off the top of my head. It's like, and they didn't really replace them. I mean, they got Jackie Bradley and prospects back. So, you know, you're not going to replace Renfro's 30 home runs with Jackie Bradley and prospects. And Schwarber was, there was no replacement. So is there some sort of thought that the home run's going to be de-emphasized here going forward? Or did Bloom just totally blow it when it comes to the most important offensive facet of the game?
Could it be both? Like, and I don't know, but I think you ask an interesting question. Were they trying to forecast a change in the game?
Which right? is coming, but yes. it's certainly not here yet.
No, it's not. And so that's one thing. If they did, they jumped the gun because just the game still being played the same way this year as it has been played in other years. And secondly, and we haven't spent a ton of time on this, but the guy that's killing him, Bogaerts is a shortstop. Bogaerts has never been a 30 home run guy. Bogaerts has been a 25 home run guy, 20 home run guy, like in that area, that's what he is. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't want more, but I'm just telling you what the track record is. J.D. Martinez, in his first year in Boston, hit 43 home runs. The next year, he hit 36. Last year, he hit 28. He has eight home runs. And we're halfway through the season. They played more than halfway through now. They played game 81 two nights ago.
He's hitting for a high average, though, right?
He's hitting .311, but that number has come down.
But in this day and age, that's high average.
Yeah, that's high. It is. I mean, he was hitting .380, you know, about 3 weeks ago, a month ago. So he's been slumping, but the eight home runs, what the hell's going on there? Is this a guy who wants to prove he can hit .300 and, you know, so he's taking singles, or is he upset by it, or what?
Well, weren't you worried coming out of Arizona that he was a steroid guy?
Yeah.
I mean, we all were, right?
Okay, but it took this many years?
Sometimes it, you know, you maintain muscle mass for a time.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose.
I'm just talking out loud. Who the hell
wouldn't
knows?
Wouldn't a free agent year be the year
yes,
you take him?
Sure, you bet. Yeah, load like back up, babe.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on. Eight home runs out of your DH? Eight home runs. So if I'm going to have a DH that hits me eight home runs and hits .311, why do I need to pay him $22 million a year to do it?
Probably don't. You think they like paying him $22 million?
No, definitely not. I mean, that would be my question to him. Like, if you're trying to make some money, I'm not sure you're making it right now.
All right. The Red Sox are the lead today. We're mixing those calls all day long at 617-779-0985. I do want to hit on this because this has developed over the last couple days. Jaylen Brown with the Celtics, I think clearly feels disrespected. He told you he does. He tweeted it out not 2 weeks ago. That he feels disrespected in this town, whether that's from you or the team or some combination thereof. Is he justified in feeling that way? And what does that mean for his future here going forward? That's the topic right after McBone. Get you updated. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.